and does not sin. Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. And you'll see how those will fit in and tie into the exhortation this evening from 1 John, which I'm going to read here. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 1. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Let's pray. God, we have before us scripture that is sobering, a reminder of our failures before you, one that speaks of sin in our lives, and yet we have an advocate, and we pray this evening that as we hear of this difficult topic of sin and its gravity in our lives, that we will be responsive to you, that our faith will look to you, and that we will find our perseverance in you, knowing that Christ is with us and that we belong to you, that you are our Father in heaven and we are your children, and we may find comfort in that. We praise and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as you heard, and even in the prayer, this is a hard topic. This is what the scripture here we find in John. There's discussion of sin. We see in the text for us not only about sin, but we'll hear about liars, other strong words. But we belong to Jesus Christ, dear Christian. So rest in him. He is fellowshipping with us, leading our worship as high priest, gently sovereign over our hearts as your king, and disclosing to us by his word and spirit his salvation as the prophet. So rest assured and find comfort in him. God is light, and the darkness, lies and deception exist. Verse 6 has the word lie. Verse 8 has the word deceive. Verse 10 has the word liar. And then other verses, for instance, verse 8, the truth is not in us. All of these words should be uncomfortable and repulsive. How many argue they are a liar and yet desire to be a liar? Even the liar's conscience, unless seared, squirms to devise ways to cover his hideous lies, to stay afloat in pride. Some liars typically assert they do not lie. Maybe they really believe they did not lie. Thus, even though unintentional, these liars cover and justify their lies. Other liars admit they lied and may even openly argue the lie was justified. In other words, they reason the lie was right and necessary. In the main, intentional or not, liars desire to convince their own conscience and the conscience of others the lie was just, good, and on the side of truth, possibly. In history, with Plato in the 5th and 4th century having named the noble lie, some leaders have justified their lies to maintain the people's allegiance to what these leaders deemed the higher cause of the group or city, state or nation or what have you. And then there's the white lie. Well, if it does not hurt anybody, it can't be all that bad. Well, of course, in Scripture, we are confronted with the existence of lies and deceptions and the darkness where no true justification can be given. But by our Heavenly Father, we will see the liars spoken of in this passage who try to cover and justify their lying way. But John has exposed their lies to the light of day. These liars walk in the darkness as opposed to walking and being led by the light of our God. Scripture has deep, rich meaning, doesn't it? There is overlap in what we find before us in each verse and passage. We could spend time peeling back the onion on each verse and passage to find more and more heavenly treasures. With each outer layer of an onion peeled away, another richness revealed by God in His written word is set before us. Consider. Chapter 4 of this epistle is a passage on test the spirits. From the epistle's beginning, there has been another onion peel, another rich layer. John, and I'm a little bit on a tangent here, but it's okay to say John. I want to point that out. We take nothing away from God by saying John. Remember, John is an apostle. He authoritatively represents Jesus Christ. What John wrote, these words in this epistle, come to us by the very authority of Christ Himself. And so we hear from John's epistle what an apostolic church looks like. Therefore, there are churches that are not apostolic and do not pass the test set before us. As we heard before, the apostolic church is where the same Christ the apostles witnessed is declared. The apostolic church is where fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, is taking place. is where the Holy Spirit is filling His people with the joyous praise to glorify God. Also is where the light, who is God, especially leading His covenant congregated people. The onion layer of testing set before us in this evening's passage is the apostolic church's condition of sin. In short, a test of sin. This is what we are going to spend some time on this evening. Verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. And recall the end of verse 9. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus is our Savior. Without His salvific blood, death, from conception and throughout our lifetime, we would be under God's wrath and curse and would continue to be so until into that eternal punishment of hell, because our sin and guilt is against the eternal righteous God. Praise be to God. Christ did take that punishment in our place. Do you believe that, dear hearer? And you, dear Christian, rest in Christ and be assured. If we are not being cleansed from all manner of sin and all manner of unrighteousness, that would mean God is not fellowshipping with us. Yet liars claim God is dwelling with them when He is not. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Some say they have fellowship with Him, but they lie. Why are they lying? Because as the verse says, they walk in darkness. They say God dwells with them, but they are not practicing the truth. The Apostle John wrote, if we claim God is fellowshipping with us, but walk in darkness, then we are lying. Think of that even just this morning, what we heard about love. That's a practice. We don't want to be liars. Furthermore, look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. To not practice the truth, to walk in darkness, is to say that we have no sin. The blood of Christ cleanses us from sin and cleanses us from unrighteousness, while some claim they have no sin. Consider we are in the presence of our God and Savior. Christ is now, as we worship God this evening, Christ is now leading our worship as our high priest, dwelling with us by the Spirit of Christ. And some, I pray not here at Calvary, but some in some apostolic church somewhere, or in some other place somewhere, according to John, are claiming they have no sin. That might sound easy to shrug off, right? You could claim, well, of course, I have sin. I'm not perfect, right? It might be so easy to just shrug off. There's more to this, though, than just that simple claim of having sin, or even what John is saying here about having no sin. There's more than that. There's more than just the claim of perfectionism. Though perfectionism is being pointed out here, there's a lot more to the passage than a simplistic version of perfectionism being tested against. Some are rebelling in some way, in some part of their life, claiming they did nothing wrong. Even when they seem to be right, could they not have done so better, perfectly? Our good works are still defiled by our sin. God sanctifies us perfectly, dear Christian, but our good works are corrupted by our sin. The work of God in us is perfect. He's God. But not what we do. Not who we are. We are never perfect. But there's more to this. Verse 9, God the Father is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. So why are some walking in darkness? It certainly is not that God is unfaithful. God is faithful. Consider some antonyms of unfaithful: false, treacherous, untrue, unreliable, right? I just took these out of a dictionary. Untrustworthy, uncertain, corrupt, careless, fake, counterfeit, unsteadfast. Can we truly say God is faithful in verse 9, but turn around and say God is actually untrustworthy and a counterfeit? Of course not, unless we make him a liar. By the gift of faith, we believe God is faithful. But some do make him a liar. How? They claim to have no sin. That is the darkness they walk. That is the lie they put into practice. And being in the dark, these people claim to be in fellowship with God when they are not. Liars may be in the same place believers are hearing the same Christ declared that the apostles witnessed. But these liars are walking in the darkness and God is not fellowshipping with the liars. How is that so? God the Father is just. Do we say He is unfair, irrelevant, not important, not worthy, and unlawful? Of course not, right? We'll never say that. Unless, again, we make him a liar. So how are these people saying they have fellowship with God and may even nominally agree God is faithful and God is just, yet they walk in darkness? Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Those who make God a liar have not His word in them. So we have before us this Bible. You have some in the pews in front of us or maybe even on your lap. His written word. And is declared to us. Worked into our very souls by the Spirit of Christ. But yet not in the liars. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Meaning, if we are truly in fellowship with the Father, then the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is cleansing us. And this is important to understand. That means we must be sinners. The sacrifice of Christ to cleanse us was and continues to not be a vain accomplishment by Christ. His blood is effective to cleanse our sins and unrighteousness. Now listen very carefully. How are these people lying? We know they claim to have no sin. Does not God claim to cleanse us from our sin by the blood of Christ? What are these words John wrote eloquently persuading to our hearts to soften them by God's work, by His power. What is He doing? What are these words saying? God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness. Therefore, why are these liars lying? They claim to have no sin and have not sinned. Is that not the work of Christ set out to do? To cleanse us from sin so that we do not have sin? The liars claim the Lord's presence is dwelling with them. They may even hear God's call to worship, and they come to where people may even be gathered as an apostolic church. Thus, Christ cleansed the liars from their sin and unrighteousness, right? No. Why not? Verse 9, if we confess our sins. Eventually, we must acknowledge we do sin and have sinned. It is one thing to say Christ is cleansing us from all sin, and it's a whole other thing to say we have not sinned. To say we do not have this sin, or that sin, or another sin, when in fact we do have this or that or another sin, falls dangerously close to being a liar. Close, but not exactly. Listen carefully. Look at verse 1 in chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. We're peeling back the onion. We're getting to the heart of what I'm getting at here. I know it's taken me some time, but we're getting to the heart of this. The Apostle John wrote this meaningful epistle so that we may not sin. That's what it says there, right? In chapter 2, verse 1. Which seems to be what the liars claim. They claim they do not sin. And John wrote these things so that we may not sin. Yet, right? There's a yet. Yet John goes on to write in chapter 2, verse 1, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The liars claim to not have sinned. And again, it is one thing to have the blood of Christ cleanse us from sin, and a complete lie and counterfeit other thing to confess we have no sin and have not sinned. Two different things. To claim one is completely perfect, or to claim one is perfect in part. That's why I'm talking about not just the full perfectionism here. Even if somebody claims in part, as liars do, to claim this or that or another sin is no sin at all, is to make the claim, I have not sinned. How many people go around today and say, oh, it's okay, I can do this, it's not really a sin. And today's nation and the West and Europe, there's quite a bit of that, right? The whole woke culture, people that are even in church advocating homosexuality, anything of that nature, it's not really a sin, they might say. What does the Bible say? It is. That same person might confess they sinned at other times in their life, so they may not claim to be completely perfect as some, but nonetheless, even to confess one did not sin at any particular time, when in fact they did sin at that particular time, is to have claimed they have not sinned when they did. For whatever reason, intentionally or not, these liars are denying a biblical sin is a sin. Do you know of all of your sins? Do you confess every single sin of yours? Impossible. We are not God. We commit unintentional sins and have to be persuaded and convicted throughout our lifetime as Christians, our sins before God. We do not know the depth of our own sin. We do not know about all the sins of the world that we commit. So are we failing to confess all our sins? How do we know we are not liars ourselves? Listen to these beautiful words again to soothe our hearts. Okay, we can find comfort. I know this is a hard topic. If anyone sins, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ. Christ is leading our worship before God. We do not know all the sins we commit. And the good works we do are never perfect before God. This is not an excuse to sin, God forbid, but is a praise. Praise to God. We have an advocate in Jesus Christ. The liars, ironically, wallow in sin. Ironic because they say they have no sin, which is a sin. Dear Christian and hearer, we may sin and not be aware of a sin we have committed. But dear Christian and dear hearer, are you coming before God this evening knowing you are a sinner, and through our advocate, Jesus Christ, is how we are forgiven before God? By the cross and Christ's continual advocation, we are forgiven and cleansed of any sin and unrighteousness, intentional or not. Christ perfectly stands before God. We don't, but He's our advocate, and He does. Christ advocates and legally pleads our forgiveness, and we are forgiven and cleansed of all sin and unrighteousness. As you in godly sorrow for your sins, are you a sinner? Are you worshiping our God here and now, being filled with a joyful praise to God for sending His only eternally begotten Son, who took on a human nature to righteously live to the point of death on the cross on our behalf, to take the punishment we deserve? Are you thankful for Christ? Do you, in the depth of your soul, look upon each other and by faith know none of you deserve to be here this evening were it not for Christ? We are sinners. And praise be to God that in Christ we find our forgiveness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. Why are they making God out to be a liar? Because the Father says the blood of Christ cleanses all sin and unrighteousness. But if these people claim to not sin this or that sin, and therefore claim to have no need for the blood of Christ, they are liars. True believers may not know of this or that sin that they have committed, but by God we run to the throne for mercy. We run to the throne, trusting Christ is our advocate, even for those sins we know not about. Recall the testing of the spirits from earlier. The onion layer we peeled to find the test of sin in the text set before us this evening. The same Christ declared that the apostles witnessed the joy of praise to our God, being filled by the Holy Spirit, the light of God gloriously shining brightly, leading His people to worship, all from earlier passages, and now this evening we hear of the cleansing blood of Christ. All of these are marks of a true apostolic church, where God is truly fellowshipping with His people. God is cleansing us from sin. Liars claim they do not have this, that, or any sin at all. But since fellowship with God absolutely only takes place where cleansing of sin takes place, then if the liars deny their sin, then and deny their advocate Jesus Christ and His blood, then God's cleansing by Christ is not taking place with them, with the liars. God is not dwelling with them. They may be in an apostolic church, but their rebellion against God keeps them in the dark. Even if the light of God shines leading His people, we are sinners. Pray. Pray God forgives and cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness, even the sins we are not aware of. Praise our righteous advocate who stands before God, for Christ is our grace. Liars are deceiving themselves. Liars have deceived themselves into believing they are in fellowship with God. The darkness is that dark. To walk in the darkness, one is prevented from seeing the light of God. And liars deceive themselves into even believing they are in fellowship with God. If you have ever been scared while in a dark place and felt relief to have a light turned on, maybe you were in your house, or maybe you were in your backyard or in the woods and walked away from the porch light or campfire light and started hearing noises coming from the direction where it was really, really dark, somewhere by the trees or bushes. Was it the wind? And then when you returned to the light, you had that sense of relief. Maybe you turned on a flashlight, made your way back to camp. You found the light switch in your house, or maybe the electricity went out and the lights are finally turned back on. Here in John's epistle, there is a darkness that really should crawl up your spine, if you think about it. At least when you were in a dark room, you knew you were in a dark room. You knew it was nighttime when you wandered away from the campfire. John here writes of a darkness so dark, liars do not even know they are in the dark. They deceive themselves into believing they are in fellowship with God. Christ. Look to Christ, dear hearer and dear Christian. That might scare the bejeebus out of you. Even me just thinking about it again, even though I prepared this, that's scary. But if you find yourself soulfully on your knees, sorrowful and yet full of praise in your heart for God and the forgiveness we receive because of Christ, then dear hearer and dear Christian, praise be to God. Do not fear. If you are bowing in your soul, submitting to your Lord and Savior this evening, praising and thanking Him that by our advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ, we are saved from the lies and deception of this fallen world, Then praise be to God. You see the light. Fear not. Christ is with you. The Father's light does not keep us in the dark, wondering, am I in the dark or not? It may happen, sinful doubts, perversely love to take every opportunity to creep into our souls and into our very lives. We've all been there, but we are not kept there. We hear our Father is a bright and glorious light and are filled with a joyful praise for Him. Though our faith may weaken, dear Christian, we know we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our advocate, which means Jesus intercedes and lawfully pleads on our behalf. He is the best and only legal support before God. If anyone sins, whether knowingly or not, Christ is there pleading on our behalf to our Father. Dear here, do you believe you need Christ? Even if you know not your sin, do you believe Christ is there mercifully and being the grace He pleads on your behalf toward our Father so that your sin may be forgiven and cleansed? That we do not deserve the favor Christ is, but Christ mediates on our behalf out of a true love, a perfect love. Dear Christian, do you find relief and does your faith find comfort? Christ continually leads our worship, advocating before the Father. His blood, His advocation in heaven, from His glorious throne, prayerfully and boldly by the grace He is, through faith, we may go to Christ increasingly with every step and fiber of our being to praise our triune God as Christ pleads on our behalf. Dear hear, repent and believe. Christ is the only way of salvation. Dear Christian, rest assured. Christ's advocacy mediates on our behalf to make our worship of God this evening pleasing and a sweet aroma to Him. God brought us out of the darkness so that in Christ we may worship and delight in the glorious light the Father is. God truly fellowships not only where the same Christ is declared that the apostles witnessed, not only where the Holy Spirit gives us the fruit of joyful praise, not only where the glorious light of the Father leads His people to worship, God's fellowship also is where there are sinners, where the blood of Christ cleanses, where sinners by and through our advocate, Christ Jesus, is mediating. Where the cleansing fellowship with God is, that is the apostolic church. All praise be to our God and Savior, whose name is above every name, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we know we cannot even attempt to come before You without Christ. Without the Spirit of Christ working in our lives, we would not have the ability, the strength, the boldness to even come to You this evening to hear Your Word, to respond back in praise, to pray to You. None of this would be possible. But You have taken us as Your children, and we are Yours. And though we are sinners, and we may not even know all the sins that we have, We know that we have a perfect advocate before you who is there on our behalf, perfectly pleading our case, perfectly by the Spirit, giving us that gift that we come before you and confess our need for you. And we are so thankful that we hear that we are forgiven, that we are continually forgiven in Christ. We need him. And we pray that you will give us the perseverance to stay in him. We praise and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let us go.